Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago. And you can download the Wait Wait podcast for your computer or MP3 player. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Erin Matheny in Hammond, Louisiana.
Hey, how are things in Hammond?
Not too bad.
And what do you do there?
I'm the director of a research project. I work at a local university.
Oh, I see. What are you researching?
John Travolta.
I work on housing and homeless issues.
Really?
Have you ever done any studies?
Well, see, the thing is, if you were just going by our show, all researchers in the world are only concerned with what makes men attractive to women and vice versa, I think. So you don't do that. You do something.
No, it's far less interesting,
sexy,
I suppose.
Erin, right. Welcome to our show. Now, Carl Castle will read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, on two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Ready to go?
I believe so.
All right, here is your first limerick.
Back when we were barbaric and yappy, upright perambulation was sloppy. No, it seems that our feet were not firm and complete. They were soft, also loose and quite.
Sloppy?
What'd you say?
Floppy?
Floppy? Floppy is right. Very good.
Oh, good.
Perhaps you imagine our most distant ancestors look like the Geico caveman, or perhaps Raquel Welch in a fur bikini. Turns out, more like Bozo. According to Evie Varecki of the University of Liverpool, our ancestors were a lot like modern gibbons with big bendy feet that gave them a goofy, floppy stride. Varecki says she's found other evidence that leads her to believe that the early humans likely had big red noses and wore squirting flowers for ornamentation. She said she has yet to discover how so many of them were able to live in one tiny, tiny cave.
Yeah. You know, we should have known when we saw those cave paintings of hunting mastodon with pies.
And seltzer bottles.
Oh, yes. It took eight early humans with seltzer bottles to bring down a mastodon.
It worked, though.
Here is your next limerick.
Roaches scamper as fast as they can, and it seems they meet up at a van. It is all taking shape. It's a thought-out escape. Yes, cockroaches have a grand
plan.
Right. Cockroaches won't just survive the apocalypse. They're actually making plans. According to a study in Current Biology. You see, this is the kind of study we need.
Yeah.
Cockroach planning study. Cockroaches work out escape plans in case they encounter a threat. When attacked, the roaches know that running straight is too dangerous, so instead they run away at an angle based on how wildly the attacker is waving the shoe. Researchers say the roaches also have implemented a sophisticated buddy system. They have periodic safety drills. They have lookout posts. They've even designated a safe meeting place, namely, on your toothbrush.
Ew.
Here.
And they run at specific angles, not just any angle. You know, what is it, 180 and 90?
It depends. They're very precise.
Yeah.
But that's short-range planning.
Running away at an angle.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they've got a long-range plan for anything.
They don't have investments, if that's what you mean.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wouldn't matter if they did at this point.
Yeah. If they did, it was a terrible plan.
Yeah.
All right, here's your last limerick.
Oh, man, babies are rough, no denying. With our bedtime, the kid's not complying. Since his eyes won't stay dry, a machine we will buy that will tell us why he is still
crying?
Yes, crying. Every parent, of course, has a monitor to let them know what their child is doing, if it's crying or not. Well, every caring good parent has one. What are those kids trying to say? The new Why Cry monitor converts a baby's cries into sound waves, which it analyzes for energy, frequency, pitch, and then reveals what exactly your kid's problem is. For instance, a high pitch and demanding cry means the baby is hungry. A short, intense cry that drops and rises means the baby is stressed, perhaps over having his every utterance analyzed. While a long, drawn-out sigh means, my parents are wasting my college fund in a bunch of high-tech crap. Carl, how did Erin do in our quiz?
Well, Erin is a winner, Peter. Erin, you had three correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you so much for playing, Erin.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.